Today, the widely anticipated sci-fi thriller Inception hits theaters nationwide, directed by Christopher Nolan, famous for his previous films Memento and Dark Knight. Inception has been the source of buzz and speculation for months. You might say people have been dreaming about it.
Yes, indeed.
You could say that, right? Well, why? Well, one, it involves dreams or thoughts being stolen. Two, it has a lot of special effects. And three, the Leo factor, right? Here to explain what it's all about is our takeaway contributor, Rafer Guzman. We have a special trivia contest for him later. He's a little nervous. I see the beads of perspiration already.
They're already popping out.
And as a special treat, we're joined by dream scientist Robert Haas. Haas is a director of the International Association for the Study of Dreams and director of the Dream Science Foundation. And he's promised to help us better understand what is fact and fiction in Inception. Rafer, first of all, what's it all about?
Okay, let me see if I can boil this down. DiCaprio basically plays a dream thief. He's what's called an extractor, and he goes into your dreams and steals ideas. So this has made him a very valuable player in the corporate espionage world, of course,
to say the least. Yeah.
So he becomes a fugitive. He's trying to get back to his family, and of course, his chance for redemption hangs, as it always does, on one last job. And this job, the goal is not to steal an idea, but to implant one. And that's where you get the title of the film, Inception.
Implant the idea. Let's listen to a clip for a second.
What's the most resilient parasite? An idea. A single idea from the human mind can build cities. An idea can transform the world and rewrite all the rules. Which is why...
Oh, now, I need some popcorn right now.
But this has got to be more sophisticated than just he stole the idea for a better mousetrap from some other dude. Right.
Right. Well, that's what he used to do. And this one is much more about implanting an idea, which is apparently, you know, of course, everyone else says it can't be done. It can't be done. But, you know, DiCaprio thinks it can. And, you know, so he assembles his team and they get together and go for it.
Your thumbs up on the movie.
I gave it 4 stars. It's the highest rating we have.
Really?
It's the first 4-star rating I've given in a long time. It's
2.5 hours. You weren't even
2.5
twitching.
Hours. Yeah. No. I was laughing aloud in this movie for a lot of the time just because I was so taken aback and surprised by what was happening and where the plot was going. You know, when's the last time that you went to a movie and that you were actually outsmarted by the film?
Wow.
It never happens.
You were as engaged as, say, the first Matrix movie, which was so inventive. And you kind of, I can't believe I'm going with this kind of feeling.
Yeah, Nolan has cited the Matrix as an influence on this film.
All right. That's not bad.
You have suspended disbelief. All right, Robert Haas, who is with the International Association for the Study of Dreams, how much of anything in this movie is real?
Well, the idea that a person could extract information from a dream or implant an idea in a dream is somewhat possible, actually.
Really?
Although probably not quite the way it is done in the movie itself.
Well, how would you do it?
Well, there's a couple of for one thing, it's pretty unethical. So from a scientific standpoint,
kids don't do this at home, but tell us.
Exactly. Most of the scientific studies have focused on two aspects. One is what's called dream telepathy. There's a bunch of studies that were done back in the 60s and 70s by Ullman and Krippner and Vaughn. And about two-thirds of the time, they were able to show that a person can dream of another's thoughts. But these were usually it was in a scientific setting. They were in a setting where the two people were mutually attempting to do this rather than a situation where a person is actually going into a dream and changing it.
How do they know the thoughts?
I can Wi-Fi into somebody else's head?
I go Wi-Fi, yes.
Wow.
Well, let me also mention the other, which is even more exciting. It's called lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is when you know you're having a dream. And there's a number of groups that these studies, some of them were more scientific, some of them were less than that, but some of these groups are able to mutually dream. That is, they say, hey, tonight we're going to see if we can have a lucid dream, wake up in our dreams, and meet each other and exchange information. And there's actually been cases where that's been done, exchanging such things as a password back and forth.
And do these people have to be in the same room, or can this happen any place in the world?
It can happen anywhere.
Really?
Happen across the globe. It doesn't really matter.
Wow.
Was this also in the 60s? That's my question.
No, well, Luther...
That's a good question. That's a reasonable question, Rafer.
Well, yeah, they were smoking a lot of stuff. Well, but yeah. No, the these kinds of experiments are being done all the time now. Like I say, the more the scientific ones were done earlier on, and what's going on right now are some grassroots movements in the area of lucid dreaming and all, just trying to experiment with that. That phase of dreaming.
Well, it's fascinating. So, Rafer, do you think this movie, Inception, is going to change the language? Are we all, you know, this summer going to be talking a little bit about some of the modalities and the kinds of things that happen in the same way that, you know, Matrix sort of hit the language pretty hard?
I don't know. I mean, I think even with the Matrix reminded me of a lot of other virtual reality films I've seen. Like, do you remember Brainstorm?
Yep.
I think it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this is essentially what we'd now call a virtual reality movie. You know, there's real life, and then there's a second layer of reality. Although in this one, there's a third, fourth, and fifth layer.
Well, and then there's the sixth because you're sitting there in the theater.
Right, exactly.
And you
exactly.
were taking notes. Robert, I got to ask a question. Why do we dream?
Well, the reason we dream is pretty natural, actually. It's a natural self-healing process that maintains our psychological balance. It's sort of like a mental scab when we to heal a wound, in other words.
And, so do we overinterpret it then?
Well, we have a tendency to try to overinterpret it, but basically what's happening in a dream is we're trying to deal with the unresolved emotional issues of the day. And what happens is the dream comes out as sort of a visual and sensual sort of process. It comes from a part of the brain called the associative cortex. So it forms associations with what's going on inside. And so our problem is we're looking at a dream as if it's literal, when in reality it is our own internal associations, emotional associations usually, with all the imagery that we see.
Right.
Robert Haas is a director of the International Association on the Study of Dreams. Fascinating. You can hang on the line if you want to participate.
Yes, stay with us.
In the trivia questions.
All right, we got the trivia. It's a whole new plan for you, Rafer, because you got so stumped in the last few weeks. We decided to make it easy, but it's going to be a lightning round, all right?
Okay.
Three questions. You're going to go very, very quickly. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'll ever be.
Here we go. Question number one. Judy Garland dreamed up, speaking of Inception, a whole world over the rainbow in what 1930s classic?
Wizard of Oz?
Yes. Name three actors who have played the movie Batman, thinking of Christopher Nolan.
Christian Bale, George Clooney, Michael Keaton.
Ooh, nice. And number three, Leonardo DiCaprio became a movie legend when he went down with what ship?
Titanic.
Ding, ding, ding.
I'm ready for Jeopardy.
Excellent. Bring it. Excellent. People were playing on the Takeaway Facebook page, and Rhea in Detroit on our Facebook page beat you out.
Not surprised.
But she had the questions before you, so it's not fair. Rafer Guzman, Takeaway movie contributor and film critic for Newsday. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Robert Haas, did you follow that?
I'm glad you didn't ask me, though.
You can go back to sleep now out there in Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks so much.
Okay, dream well. Dream well.
So, site Rafer and producer Kristen Meinzer have a movie date, a podcast you can subscribe to at thetakeaway.org/podcasts. I'm John Huckenberry. I'm out next week, and Todd Zwillick will be behind the mic.
I'm Miles O'Brien. I won't be here. I'm in for Celeste Headlee. She'll be back next week with Todd. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.